Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up with me, if you will, to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3 tonight, we are continuing in our Bible-based counseling series. And tonight's topic is one that I think we all deal with and probably a common problem in humanity. And it's the problem of gossip. There's two main reasons, I think, why gossip is such a pervasive problem. Problem number one is every one of us have the flesh to contend with. And that tongue is certainly made of flesh, isn't it? And it is powered by the flesh. And so we do have that issue. And because we struggle with the flesh, we all possess this weapon of mass destruction. Think about it like this. Throughout our world, there are 9 countries that have nuclear capability. There are 13,080 nuclear warheads. We have 8.1 billion people in this world. And when you listen to people talk about their fear of some sort of a nuclear holocaust, somebody pushing the button, you know, and starting it all off, people talk about how easily we can be destroyed by these 13,080 nukes in 9 nations. But what people seem to forget is that 8.1 billion people, the population of the world, possesses 8.1 billion weapons of mass destruction, and that being the tongue. Now, maybe we can't, with our tongue, create a crater in the ground like a nuclear warhead can, but the tongue can certainly be as destructive as that nuclear warhead. Lives change by a word that's spoken. Nations rise and fall based on one statement that can be made from their leadership, and everything can either come together, coalesce, or it can fall apart. You look throughout American history and different times when you think about when Pearl Harbor was attacked, and when the president brought the nation together in that speech. And it's a powerful speech to read about the day that will go down in infamy and how he delivered that speech and brought the nation together for one purpose. I think about how when the Twin Towers were attacked and how President Bush and the things that he said to our nation and made it, you know, no uncertain terms that those terrorists who have perpetrated the attack on this country, that they were going to pay for it. You know, it's those times, and they're rare times, where we have seen in our own country Congress and Senate unified. Do you remember when they're all standing together on the state house or on the Capitol steps and in one voice are saying, this is not going to happen to our country? That's a rarity for them to stand like that. But it all came about with somebody's speech, those words that were said. And it can be equally destroyed by another type of speech. In James chapter 3, verse 5, and if you will, put a marker here because we are going to come back to this passage at the end of the message tonight. But in James chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Since we all have this tongue, and this description applies to every single one of our tongues. By the way, tonight, when we read this description of our tongue, there's nothing in there that says, well, this person's exempt or that person's exempt. No, this is something that is common to man. So it applies to every single one of us. Remember that as we are doing this series of messages, we are doing this series of messages as an antidote to worldly psychology, to Freudian, to Jungian, to the humanistic counseling and psychology that this world gives. What does our world say about gossip? Listen to how polar opposite it is from the Scripture. Dr. Frank McAndrew, the Cornelia H. Dudley Professor of Psychology at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, says everyone gossips. It generally is accepted among social scientists that gossip is likely a relic of our evolutionary past. Our evolutionary past is an amoeba, a single-celled blob, in chimpanzees. I didn't know they gossiped. How is that a part of our evolutionary past? Our evolutionary past, according to the evolutionists, is the chimpanzee. Where did they find gossip in an evolutionary past? But, oh yeah, that's right. McAndrews tells NBC News that urge to share a juicy piece of news when you hear it is part of who we are and a natural characteristic of the species we've become. We tend to think of gossip as a negative behavior, but it's really not. It's not inherently bad and plays an important role in keeping our society connected. Megan Robbins, assistant professor of psychology at UC Riverside, says it's just social information and we learn a lot about the social world around us when we gossip. Psychology, and then she's not wrong. She's not wrong. Ladies, the beauty shop. Isn't that where you go to find out all the information in the neighborhood? I mean, maybe you don't necessarily go for that purpose. But isn't that where you still find it out? You hear it? Because it's just kind of a part of it all. Psychology Today reports that new research published in the journal Social Psychology and Personality Science analyzed thousands of daily conversations to better understand the true nature of gossip. Contrary to conventional wisdom, gossip may not be as negative as we tend to think. Just about everyone gossips a lot. Specifically, they estimate that the average person spends 52 minutes per day gossiping, and almost an entire hour of gossip. Putting this all together, the study paints a rosier picture of gossip and its utility to everyday life than many would imagine. If you think that you've got a problem with gossip, and you go, oh, I need to get some help, I need to get some counseling, let's go to Dr. So-and-so that is a Freudian, Jungian, humanistic, worldly psychologist, and they're going to say, you don't have a problem. It's all good. It's a rosy thing you're doing. You're just passing along information. Does God say that? Well, let's look at the scripture. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Let's start by establishing something very, very clearly tonight. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Now, as you're turning here, the word gossip is not in your Bible, okay? So if you're going to do a word search when you get home and see how many times gossipeth, since you're in your KJV, a gossipether, you're not going to find that in your Bible. What you're going to find are different words that are describing what gossip is: whisperers, talebearers, backbiters, things like that. Leviticus 19, verse 16, thou shalt not. Now, when you see thou shalt not, what is that? Okay, is it an optional command? No. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. The Bible makes it very, very clear, and this is your first point tonight. Gossip is sin. Gossip is sin. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Gossip is sin. In Romans chapter 1, we have this passage of Scripture, and it's a good passage because I think as you read Romans chapter 1, it provides a summation of where our world, where people, where humanity has gone as they reject the commandments of God, they do their own thing, how their disobedience leads to some really, really vile sins. But notice what's tucked away in this passage. Romans 1, 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Stop there. Are those some pretty bad things? I mean, when you look at that, would you go, some of those are criminal? I mean, they're not just sin. They are a legal issue. So they can get you busted and put in jail. You know, murder is a sin, but it's also a crime. So really bad stuff here. And at the end of verse 29, what's your last word? Whisperers. First word of verse 30? Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Why? Because they're sins. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you know somebody that is a gossiper, and I know none of you are a gossip, right? Because it's everybody else that has this problem, not us. Somebody else has this problem. And you know, at work, you know that this little group that's gathered around the tables, gathered around the wherever the break room is at, you know that group that can just hardly wait to share some sort of a juicy detail. And don't you see others that just, oh, I want to be in on that. I want to know what's going on. They know what's wrong. How do they know it's wrong? Because they wouldn't want it done about them. They know it's wrong. But boy, they sure love to be there with those who are doing it. And they can hardly wait to get in there to get all those salacious details and find out what's happening. Gossip is sin. In short, Pastor Matt Mitchell, Evangelical Free Church in Lance, Pennsylvania, gives a good, simple definition of gossip. I like this. He says, the sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Bad news, behind the back, bad heart. It's a sin. God says don't do it. Now, we all talk, right? We don't sit around like a bunch of mutes and stare at each other. I mean, that would be weird, wouldn't it? I'm not going to demonstrate because I would make somebody very uncomfortable, but just we're just sitting around in a group, somebody just locks eyes with you. You kind of want to walk up and go, anybody home? What are you staring at? We don't do that. That's weird. That's uncomfortable. You don't do that. We talk. Is the topic of our conversation information or is it gossip? And do we know the difference? How do we define the difference? Got Question Ministries gives this. Gossip is distinguished from sharing information in two words. First of all, intent. Deep down, gossipers have the goal of building themselves up by making others look bad and exalting themselves as some kind of repository of knowledge. So why did you say what you did? What was the intent behind it? Second thing is this, the type of information shared. Gossipers speak of the faults and failings of others or reveal potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others without their knowledge or approval. Now, as we get that kind of a definition or a delineation, the intent, what is the purpose behind it, and what's the type of information that's being shared? It would also help us to learn some characteristics that gossip takes on. We may find out, and I encourage all of us, don't examine what anybody else said. You know, you've talked to people. Is there anybody here tonight you say, I haven't talked to a soul? Okay, so you've talked to somebody tonight, right? Okay, so replay those conversations. You've talked to somebody in the day. Replay the conversations, and this is between you and God. I'm not suggesting you lean over and tell your spouse, say, oh boy, this is what I said. No, don't say that. You keep it between you and God tonight, okay? Let's try to find out, did we gossip? And if so, let's unlearn some characteristics that are a part of gossiping. Here it is. First of all, gossip is done in secret. Gossip is done in secret. Go to Psalm 101 with me. And when you get to Psalm 101, if you will, put a marker here. We're going to come back to this one in just a moment. But Psalm 101, look at verse 5. The scripture says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. All right, put your marker here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. And here's a couple of those words that we saw in Romans. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings. By definition, backbiting, you go behind somebody's back to bite them. Whisperings. It's done secretly. We don't want the other person to hear about this. You can't really call it gossip when the subject of the gossip is standing right in front of you. And we know this. Has anybody ever been caught in gossip? You were talking about somebody. Did you know about? And that person was standing right behind you. Or they happened to walk up, they caught ear. You know when you hear your name spoken, even if it's whispered, it's amazing. You hear it, it's like, I mean, your head just snaps on a swivel. And it's like, what are they saying? And all of a sudden, you're listening to the conversation. You just kind of stand there and listen to what's being said. And when that person realizes you're there, oh, they turn red-faced, everything goes quiet, they start disappearing real quick. They were talking about you in secret. You know, if we are talking, and it doesn't mean that everything that we talk about privately and secretly is gossip. But how many things that we do talk about in private and secretly are gossip? And we've dropped somebody else's name, and we would be mortified if we saw them standing right behind us after we finished talking. If that's the case, then we gossiped. Then we need to knock it off because it's wrong. Let's notice the second thing. Go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs has a lot to say about our tongue, a lot to say about a lot of things that are very, very practical. The next thing is this. Gossip is often based on rumor or half-truth. It's based on rumor or half-truth. For the most part, that's the way gossip comes out. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. In other words, the neighbor comes and says, you don't know everything about the situation that you think you know, and you're only working off of half information. Bible Gateway defines gossip this way. A gossip is one who repeats idle talk or rumors about others. You might only think that the story is true, but you find out later on that it wasn't true and you spread a rumor. You didn't patiently wait to hear the whole story and you jumped to conclusions, or you heard a part of the story and decided to fill in the missing pieces yourself. You know, it's like, well, I can juice this story up, and I'm sure this is what they were thinking. I'm sure this is what was meant. And so we begin to embellish it and add to it and all that kind of stuff. That's gossip. And that is something that has got to stop. It's something that we have got to control our tongues on so that we're not doing things like that. The information probably shouldn't have been shared in the first place if we didn't have the whole story. But to share a part of a story and to lead people a wrong direction is a wrong thing to do. Back to where your marker's at in Psalm 100. Here's another characteristic of gossip. Most gossip tends to be slanderous. Most gossip tends to be slanderous. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. To slander somebody means to tear them down, to defame them, saying things that are unfavorable. Slander seems to be the nature of gossip. Bad news behind the back. And it's delivered with malicious intent. Now, is everything that is shared behind somebody's back Is everything shared that way gossip? Think about that for just a second. Is everything shared behind somebody's back gossip? A lot of you are shaking your heads, no. What wouldn't be gossip? What do you think? Oh, plan a surprise party. Okay. I didn't even think about that one. That's good. Marge? Okay. What would make it gossip? That's a good point. We've got a prayer list. What would make it gossip? If something wasn't true, what else would make it gossip? Do I? Okay, what about the intent? Okay, if we're slandering somebody, let's really pray for this person. They're, yeah. Do I?
They need it.
What else would make it wrong to have it on the prayer list? If it is private, okay? And I throw this out because we print the prayer bulletin. That's why you write it out on a pink card. That's why we've got these pink cards afterwards that we will share. And then when Miss Jill does the prayer bulletin, it's based off of this. Do not ever put something on a pink card to go into the prayer bulletin that you have not pre-approved if you're putting somebody's name on it. Because otherwise, it makes the whole church liable for something that maybe somebody didn't want put out. They just came to you and said, hey, would you pray with me about something? Oh, yeah, that was pretty serious. I'm going to tell the church. And they didn't ask you to tell the church. They asked you to pray, but you thought you needed to make it a public matter. You get permission first. You say, well, I'm just going to call a couple of people. No. Somebody came to you and says, I need you to pray about something. Okay? Then you pray about it. If you're wanting to share it, ask first. Otherwise, it very well could be gossip. Maybe you say, oh, I know the person. They won't mind. I would be scared to death to make that decision for anybody. There have been people that have said, well, how come that didn't get on the prayer chain? Kind of get a little testy with you. And I kind of want to get testy back. It's like, because I didn't have permission. That's why I'll put it on the prayer chain when we have permission. I'll put the details that we have permission for. A lot of times somebody will call and they say that they want something on the prayer chain. I say, how do you want this worded? And so while I'm there at my computer, before I hang up, okay, this is what's going out. Is this okay? Before I'll ever hit send. Don't send it, don't share it without permission from the source. Keeps you out of trouble that way, right? And that's the last thing that we want to do is print something that hasn't been approved. So we're trusting. When you fill out one of those pink cards, we're trusting you that this is something that's okay to share before we put it into print. So these are some really good things. Let me share with you three things tonight that nobody mentioned. So we can add these to the list. That's not going to be gossip. There are times when we can and even must speak behind somebody's back. For instance, let's say we witnessed a crime taking place and we're going to go to the police about it because we should. Now, are we going to go to the person that did the crime and say, I just want you to know I'm not talking behind your back, but I'm going to go tell the police about this? No. You go straight to the police with it, right? Because a crime has been committed. Here's something else. You're not being a gossip when you earnestly seek counsel. And when I say seeking counsel, I mean you're seeking the counsel of the church, of a big group or something. It's a private thing on how to deal with an issue. And you're going to somebody that is spiritually mature, somebody that can give you insight, wisdom on how to handle something. You're also not being a gossip when you warn somebody else about a dangerous person. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is one that really gets people kind of rankled in churches. They say, oh, you shouldn't mention this person. You shouldn't mention that ministry. You shouldn't mention somebody that's, you know, saying something, that teaching something you don't agree with. No, I disagree with that based on Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, by the way, this goes into print. We've had it now for nearly 2,000 years. And he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Does Paul name names? Sure does. Go with me back to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul makes a general statement, but he says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Does that require us to name names? Do you have to have, you know, be able to say this is the author, this is the preacher, this is the teacher, this is the video series, this is the YouTube stuff that's out there that people are watching? Do we need to name the names if it goes, causes division and offenses contrary to the doctrine? Well, sure we have to. Otherwise, how can we avoid them? How do we know who to avoid if we have not marked them? The word mark in the Greek is skopeo, to put the scope on them. The hunters on your gun, you've got a scope. That scope has a bullseye. You're zeroing in on that individual. You're naming the person. That is something that we have to do. That isn't gossip. Sharing it is not slanderous either. It all depends on how we share the information and why we share the information. I would share the information with you all because I want you to be warned. I want you to be safe. I want you to be spiritually safe, not drifting into things. And I don't know how many different times somebody will come up to me and they'll say, Do you know anything about this author? And I'll say, Nope, never heard of that one. So I'll do a little bit of digging, a little bit of research, see what I can find. I'll go back to him with an answer. Other times somebody will say that question, I'll say, Yeah, get as far away from them as you possibly can. There's just a lot of people that are out there, bad stuff that you do not want to get in your possession and start reading it because of the seedy false doctrine that's there. All right, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's get another characteristic. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, gossip tells secrets. Not only is it done in secret, but gossip tells secrets. Proverbs 11, verse 13. The Bible says that a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Go to chapter 20 of Proverbs and verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19, He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Can somebody confide in you, knowing that what's been told to you will stay with you? Hopefully that's the case. Or are you the kind of person with loose lips? A loose-lipped individual can't hardly wait to tell somebody what they just heard. Oh boy. Let's get this out on social media. Let's get this on the phone. Let's send an email. Let's send a text message. Let's let them know what we just heard. And they reveal secrets. When those secrets are revealed, it does something else. Go back to Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, gossip destroys friendship. Gossip destroys friendships. Proverbs 16, 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Go to chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Who in the world would want to be friend to a gossip? I mean, think this through very carefully. Somebody has gossiped to you. You seem to be the person they want to come to share the greatest little nuggets and tidbits of life with. And oh, they can just hardly wait to tell you the latest news. And you know, when somebody comes to us like that, we kind of feel a little on the privileged side. It's like, oh, I'm getting to find out something nobody else knows. We get to find the inside scoop. Be warned about something. The person who will gossip to you will gossip about you. The person who will gossip to you will gossip about you. The next time somebody comes to tell you some juicy nugget, and you're thinking, oh, I'm getting some privileged information, stop for a minute and think, what have I told them that I wouldn't want out? And there's a guarantee it's already out. Not a maybe, a definite. Because if they will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. Now, there's absolutely nothing positive in Scripture about gossip. It is sin. It is wrong. It is destructive. It is something that a believer's tongue should not be used for. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? I guess the answer could be, why do we do any sin? If we're saved, why do we do any sin? And we go back to the flesh, and the flesh, we definitely battle with that for sure. But go to Matthew chapter 12. Remember that phrase that that pastor made. Gossip is bad news behind somebody's back. And what's it from? A bad heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Gossip comes out of the mouth, right? Well, what's the source? What fuels our mouth? Our heart. Go to chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 11. Jesus says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The book of Proverbs says this, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A wicked doer. Pastor Matt Mitchell again says this, gossip arises when something has gone wrong with us at the worshiping core of our beings. I like that analogy. Something's gone wrong with us at the worshiping core of our beings. Where does worship come from? It comes out of our heart. So if we are gossiping, something is wrong. We're rotten to the core. Something's wrong in the core. Now, let's say a lost individual comes to you. They realize that they have a vile tongue that keeps them from getting into trouble, or keeps them getting into trouble. they know that they've said some things they shouldn't be saying about other people, but man, I just can't stop. It's out of my mouth before I can get a handle on that thing. And man, I just don't know what to do to stop saying the things I'm saying about other people. And it's really upsetting my coworkers. It's upsetting my family. It's upsetting my friends. What do I do? They come to you at work and they say, what do I do? You're dealing with a lost person. So let's go back now where your first marker is at in the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3, take them to this passage. Because they're wanting help. What do I do to fix my tongue? James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's not the answer they wanted to hear. What do you mean nobody can tame it? You're telling me I can't tame my tongue? Yep, that's what I'm telling you. What did I come to you for advice for? It's not where you stop talking to them. You can't tame your tongue. You can't get it under control. You might be able to go for a day or two, or days or two, a few, but then you're right back at it again because you can't control it. However, God can. God can. God can control our tongue. But God can't control your tongue until God controls that which fuels your tongue. He's got to control your heart. See how you can segue into the gospel with people? You can take them right to the gospel. You can show them that you're never going to get the flesh under control. You're never going to get your tongue under control until God controls what fuels and fires your tongue. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And hopefully as you're presenting this, you get the opportunity to share with them how an individual can be saved. This is how you can get not just your tongue. How would you like, you know, you're just asking me about your tongue. How would you like to get everything under control? I can do that? Really? Yeah, how would you like to get it all under control? Not just the tongue. Let's get your eyes under control. Let's get your ears. Let's get your mind. Let's get every bit of you under control. You can do that? Well, no, I can't do that. God can. And so you start taking them down the gospel road and showing that all of us are sinners. And by one man's sin, the Bible says, death came upon all because of what Adam did. And in that garden, Adam introduced us to all of this as sin took over. But God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's hope. There is hope. And there's only one hope, and that hope's Jesus Christ. So you let them know, you know, the wages of sin is death, but God has a gift for you. And that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you show them what the Scripture says about how they can be saved. And hopefully you get an opportunity to lead them to Christ. That's a whole lot more important than getting them just to stop gossiping. They got to be saved. What about a Christian? Do Christians, how many of you tonight are a Christian and you still struggle with your flesh? Would you be honest? Huh. You mean we just might struggle with gossip as a Christian? Yeah. Let's go back to James chapter 3, verse 9. By the way, this chapter, this passage, is talking to believers. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now, just because the Scripture says cursing, I know immediately, cursing, we think of bad words. And we think of telling where somebody to go and how quickly to get there and where to get off and all those kind of things. Oh, yeah, we're not supposed to curse. You're right, we're not supposed to curse. But cursing is more than just cuss words. Cursing is the opposite of blessing an individual. Blessing an individual is wishing them the best, wishing them well. Cursing the individual is wishing them bad, wanting bad things to happen to them, gossiping about them. When you gossip about somebody, you're not looking for something good to come out of it, right? Nobody's looking for good to come out of it. You're not looking for that to help them. You're not looking for that to help to correct them, to strengthen them, to build up the things that are weak in their life. You're wanting to tear them down. The whole point of gossip is destruction. That's cursing an individual. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. As believers in Christ, we are told in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why are we told that if it wasn't a possibility for corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouth? But Paul says, don't let this happen. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Gossip is corrupt communication, and we need to get this under the Lord's control and ask Him to help us. Tonight, if you struggle with this in this area in your life, acknowledge it tonight as a Christian. And ask God to help you with it. Confess it as sin. Tell God that this is one of your weaknesses. Name it, call it what it is, and ask for God's help in it. That our tongues wouldn't be used for gossip. Now, what do you do when somebody comes to you and says, oh, have you heard? Oh, I got something good to tell you. You say, huh, what do I do? How do I get out of this? Proverbs 26:20, just write the reference down. The verse says something to this effect, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. You got to take the wood away. You're the wood. I'm the wood. We back out of it. Say, well, wait a minute. Can I share this with other people? Can I go back to the person that you're talking about and tell them, hey, you told this? No. Then don't tell me anything. I don't want to hear it. But you, no, I don't need to hear it. And you walk away. Guess what? The gossip dies. At least with you it does. And you can walk away from it scot-free. Tonight, just because we talk about people behind their backs, doesn't make it gossip. I've shared in the emails, I have shared with different ones of you, I'm talking behind their back, all of Miss Jerry's family. That was one of the neatest experiences over this past week, being with that family. The witness, the testimony, the laughter. This is one of the neatest things. What a privilege it was to be there. I'm talking behind their back. Am I gossiping about them? No. I would say it to their face, and I have. It was a blessing. Tonight, you can talk about other people. Just check what the intent is and check whether or not it's information that can be shared. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, God wants to get control of you, but it begins with your heart. And this is the night that you can give your heart and life to Jesus. Could you pray something like this? Dear God, I'm a sinner and I know it. Lord, tonight I see so many things in my life that are out of control, and now I know why they're out of control. My heart's not right. And tonight I believe Jesus Christ loves me. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He was buried in that tomb, and I believe He arose again from the grave. And tonight I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. I repent tonight, and I believe the gospel. Have you prayed something like that tonight? You say, I really meant that. I need to be saved. I want to be saved, and I've called on Jesus tonight to save me. If so, would you just slip your hand up? And our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You for those of us that are here that know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are saved and that salvation is genuine. It's not just from our head, it is from our heart. We know that we have been redeemed. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as believers that we would allow You to control every part of our being, including our tongues. And if we are having struggles with that, help us, Lord, to get that under control tonight. Under Your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.